God bless you.
Love Talk Radio.
Then I hear you.
Scoot. I thought he said, look.
Okay. Yeah, we're about as red as we're going to be. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I am so excited tonight. Jacksonville, New York, Atlanta, people that are watching us literally all over the world tonight. As we are talking about some real issues tonight, we're going to let it all hang out tonight. We're going to deal with some things. I've got several things I'm dealing with tonight. I'm dealing with, of course, we're going to deal with abuse tonight. And then we're going to deal with the rap music, Kanye West, Christian community, where we land at, where we're at. And we've got Sandy on tonight. And then we've got also Pastor Gary Phillips with us today. And he's going to do an awesome job tonight. He's a life coach. He's on with us tonight. And he's going to talk, and we're going to deal with this thing after Mr. Sandy. And then they're going to go to an announcement after her. And there's some things that's going to happen. And then we're going to deal with a little bit of Kanye West and where the music is going. But today it's going to be an awesome day. I'm excited about everything that's happening and everything that's going to happen. I just need you, my guests, my friends, to share, as we are inviting people to come on and be with us tonight. It's going to be an amazing show tonight as we cover the real issues. We're inviting thousands of people to come join with us tonight. We're believing that they're coming in tonight, and we're going somewhere today. I'm sharing it with groups. And just push share, because we're going to take this global tonight. And we've got some well-known rappers going to be with us tonight. Artie is going to be with us, who leads a battle rap league. We've got, just on a sundry. Lace is going to be with us tonight. We've got Lace and some other people that's going to be with us tonight. Just a host of people. And so if I start calling names, I'm going to mess up. But y'all get ready tonight. We're getting ready to go in. We're going to roll in for this commercial real quick. And after this commercial break that you're getting ready to hear, then we'll talk with Minister Sandy as she tells her story tonight. All right, let's go. Doing good. There's about 300 people looking. Last I looked. I didn't mean to make you nervous. We were so blessed on Sunday, as one of the ministers of our church, you shared a word. And this is new for her, so I know this is probably. And probably one of the biggest nights. We've got 800 and some odd people on across the nation. And we're talking about abuse tonight. And you were in a relationship that was an abusive relationship. And so we want to talk about some of the signs of an abusive relationship. Tell us a little bit about what you went through in your abusive relationship.
Just to give you a breakdown, I was young and I went into it thinking that I could have this fairy tale relationship. And he gave me everything I wanted while we were dating. Nothing that would give me the signs. My grandmother used to say butter wouldn't melt in his mouth. Everything was fine right up until the day I married him. Hindsight, you know, I would tell young ladies today, get to know their family, see how he treats his mother. Because after we got married and I got to know how the family worked, he was very disrespectful to his mother, fought his mother and everything. So I went through years of him beating me and dragging me whenever he got ready until, you know, people say, well, you can leave, you can leave, you can leave. But it's a time that you're just afraid of what he's going to do. You know, he would threaten me, he would threaten my kids. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And no one understands and no one can sit back and say, you know, I would do this or I would do that until you're in that situation, because I would never have thought that I would, because my grandmother had always taught us, show him his blood and he'll never do it again. But you have to first have the courage to fight back.
So when did it start? I mean,
it started literally the night that we got married. He told me, you know, he was getting ready. We had just got married, and I called myself. It got all dolled up, and I was ready to. And I said, well, where are you going? He said, I'm going out with my friends. And I was like, what? You can't do that. And he hit me so hard and knocked me in the closet.
Wait a minute. He did what?
He hit me. He punched me and told me basically that he owned me at that point. And he took
his property.
Right. He took the phone out of the house, and this went on for months.
So how did you deal with it? When did you realize you were in an abusive relationship? How did he make up?
It was a continuous thing. I'm sorry, I'm not going to do it anymore. I saw people beat my mama. It was always an excuse. And he played on the sympathy of, you know, I wanted this perfect family relationship.
Now, so what was it doing for you as a person? I mean, of course, you went into a relationship, probably a strong lady with values and wanting something out of life, at least your iconic example of what a relationship would be.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden, it's a nightmare on Elm Street. You're
right.
Being beat.
And
what did it do to you?
It got me into a place where I was very depressed. I didn't. You know, he constantly reminded me, you're too black, you're ugly, nobody will want you. So it brought my self-esteem down. It made it to the point where I believed everything he said, you know.
Were there any signs before you married him?
No, none.
Was he play hitting you or any of those kind of things?
Yes, the wrestling was there, but I never took it as that. I just thought that
he was joking and playing with you. And it went from playing with you to being married to actually beating you.
Yeah, it was beating.
So what happened to family? Did family help? And,
well,
or were you too embarrassed?
It was a mixture of both. It was being embarrassed, but he also separated me. I was 4 or 5 hours away from my family.
So one of the signs is that he got you separated from everyone else.
Right.
So he divided to conquer.
And including his family. If his family came over and he felt like that they were getting too close, he would push them away.
So something you said tonight that's very helpful, because someone may be having someone that's in an abusive relationship now and you don't know. They pulled away. You have no access to them. They don't want you around your family, your church family, the people that's dear to you, the people that you know. They want to alienate you, because if they can alienate you from what gives you strength,
right,
they eventually weaken you.
Right.
And they use leave and cleave and being separated and those kinds of things. And that's where the abuse started to amplify.
Yes, once he knows that you have no one else, it's kind of like they go in for the kill. It's all holes barred.
I mean, did your family notice it?
No, because I wasn't around my family, so they didn't notice it. My sister noticed it for a while. She would ask questions, but I would just cover it up because...
Were you embarrassed?
It was embarrassing. At the same time, he would say, you know, you leave, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to kill the kids. Realize, I think the last and final time, I worked one street over from my home, and I could actually see my rooftop, and I was sitting at my desk, and as time got time to go home, I did not want to go home. I drove around the block 3 times before I decided I'm going home. And when I walked in through the door, a bat met me across my face. And he drug me in the room. And I call it my Tina Turner moment because...
What love got
yes.
to do? Got
my
to
kids
do.
Were standing in the hallway watching as he drug me in the room. And it, the whole night, the whole entire night, I went through him spitting on me, cursing me, calling me names, even urinating on me. And... he would dare me to go to sleep, which I wasn't going to, but I just hovered in the closet and watched him sleep. And the next morning he got up and he said, take me to work. And outside we had numerous of vehicles. He didn't need me to take him to work, but that was his way, another way of controlling.
So wait a minute now. Did he eventually go to sleep?
Yeah.
He went to sleep. With you in the house mm-hmm. after urinating you and beating you,
mm-hmm.
he could do that because he had broken you down.
Right.
And I think what happens with abuse is most people don't know it's a progressive thing.
It is.
That you thought you could handle, that you thought you would respond to. People go in and say, I can handle it. I'm good. I can handle this. I'm a strong person.
Well, the thing you have to know about an abusive person is that they are just like a predator. They seek out who they want. They're not going to go to a strong woman and do these things. They find someone and they find what your weakness is and they use that weakness towards you. He knew that I cared. He knew that I wanted family. I remember him going one day and taking some ketchup, putting it on his shirt, shooting up in the air, and then falling to the ground. The neighbors and everybody coming to the house running to thinking that he had actually shot himself, and he got up laughing. And then he wanted to jump on me because he thought I did not run fast enough. The neighbors got to him first.
So let me get this correct. You were in this relationship.
Mm-hmm.
What happened after being going through that, after being hit with a baseball bat, tortured all night long? You get up and you drive him to work.
I drive him to work. And once I got him to work, my mind was just scrambling. I came back home. I packed my kids. I didn't take any clothes. I didn't take anything. And I drove as fast as I could to my mother's house. And I remember jumping out of the car and my face is swollen and everything. They ended up having to wire my jaw shut. I didn't hear from him for 2 weeks. And then after the 2 weeks, he showed up and he was like, basically, come on. And my parents stopped him. And that's why I started to try to relive my life, but it's not as easy. I never went back to him, but the fear of him lived with me for a long time. I remember being in a grocery store one day and seeing someone of his stature or someone that looked like him from afar off and could not breathe, literally stopped. And the tears are just going down my face. And the lady that was with me is like, what's wrong? What's wrong? And I couldn't move until the guy actually got close enough for me to see that it was not him.
So my question is, you've pulled yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
You're an accomplished painter.
Mm-hmm.
Your paintings are all across the country. People hang them in their places of business and places, and an amazing folk artist. What's your website that you've got?
Sandy Hall Art. Org.
Okay. Y'all need to go see some of her art. It's amazing. So you pull yourself from that and God brought you. What would you say to some woman that is in that relationship now, he began to tear down? Do some days you wish that you had got out of it sooner?
Lots of days I do. I'm still, every day I relive different things, and different things are triggers. And I have to keep constantly just telling myself I have to go on. And that's what I would tell any young lady that's going through this. Even men, if you're in an abusive relationship and someone is abusing you mentally, if they're abusing you physically, any kind of abuse, you need to get out.
And I think
do it safely, though.
But I think some people don't realize that verbal abuse can be just as dangerous and painful, because many times it's physical and verbal abuse.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to be careful of letting people degrade you.
Right.
Know your value. Know your worth. But we don't have that clip, and we're not going to go into that clip. We played that on our Monday or Tuesday show.
Mm-hmm.
But you said now that you've been at the church, you have learned your worth.
Right.
And most people, when they heard that statement, heard, okay, she's learned her worth. But they have no clue of where you had been and all of the things that you had gone through to pull you from knowing your worth.
Right. This was almost 11 years. So.
Wait a minute. This was 11 year saga. Because you just told it like it was a year and you came out about
no.
it. But...
No. No.
What
children in between and all.
What did it do to your children?
It devastated them. And I constantly feel like I have to apologize because they got to see things. And I remember my oldest daughter saying, she remembered looking at me one day and saying how beautiful I was, but I couldn't see that because I was so torn down. She remembered him, like I say, the Tina Turner, that's one of her biggest memories, is seeing him drag me down the hallway.
I will say that that may have affected them, but
it
the
did.
Great moment of you getting out of that showed a woman that refused to allow it to come.
Yeah.
Now, where was your faith? How did your faith carry you in those moments?
To be honest with you, I knew of God. I knew about God. I knew to pray. But I, at some point, thought that he had left me.
Hmm.
Now I know that he was there all along, and I had to be stronger. You know, a lot of times we pray to God to do things for us, not realizing we have to first make that step, and he's there. He's there. You just have to make that step. And if you don't make that step, he's your strength. He's your backbone, but you got to first make that step.
You know, there's a scripture that says that when Jesus had healed the lepers, as they went walking to show themselves to the priest, they were healed.
Exactly.
That most people don't realize that this is a process.
It is.
And that as you begin to do what you need to do, get up from where you are, the healing is able to come alive in your life.
Right.
Well, Sister Sandy, I'm so glad that you are a survivor. I'm glad that as we're taking a deeper look, we look at abuse. And I want to say something to anyone that's there. Give us a call if you're in an abusive relationship. There are connections that we can make. There are abuse lines. There are people that we can help you and programs that we can divert you to help you get out of an abusive relationship. You are better than what you're going through. You have more worth than they are telling you. You're valued. I often say that you are a princess, one of God's great servants. Young man, you are one of his princes. You are someone in the kingdom. You cannot allow what you're going through or what they're doing to you to devastate you, to you lose sight of the fact of what God has made you great. And right now you may be going, so I want to pray. This is that preacher moment right now. I want to pray for that person that is at that point of saying, I just don't know what to do. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, for that person that's in an abusive relationship, it may be verbal, it may be physical. Father, it's gone to the point that they don't know what to do. I pray that you give them strength right now to be able to contend with the hell. Strengthen their heart. Let them know that you have not left them. We rebuke the spirit of frustration and stress, God, that you'll give them an open door to get out of the mess they're in. In Jesus' name, amen. Mm-hmm. So, Sandy, we have enjoyed having you on our show today. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. We're talking about a conference that's coming up. A woman is coming to our city that is going to be doing some great ministry, touching some lives. Mm-hmm. She's coming all the way from, she was in New York, but she's in the Carolinas now, North Carolina, with Car Chronicles. And Dr. Kenya is hosting the conference here at the HC Center. So I'm excited. So thank you so much for being here.
All right. Thank you.
Come on, sir. We got less than a second. Yeah. 30 seconds. I cannot. I'll make sure.
Testing, testing.
Well, I had to have this great man of God who is a life coach. He said, I'm always putting him on the spot. But after umpteen years of preaching, deliberating, being the multi-generation preacher, passed down the oil on your life, I am so grateful to have you. There's probably 1,000 or more people watching us tonight. And I want you to talk to them, because as a coach, what would you say to someone as an experienced life coach that's trying to rebuild their life after abuse? I mean, what would you say?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me.
Glad to have you.
And but first of all, what I would say, if you are in an abusive relationship, being abused is being used, first of all. And it's being used in a non-productive perspective.
Mm.
And if we are being used in a non-productive perspective in a life that's supposed to be productive, we are escaping time.
Mm.
And if we're escaping time, time is escaping us.
Elaborate. You're talking deep, sir. You're talking deep, man.
Well, what happens is, a lot of times when we are in abusive relationships, we try to find an scapegoat. We are in a denial mentality. See, the first thing you have to do when you are in a situation or a relationship that you're trying to overcome, you have to first of all acclimate self. It starts with you. You have to value yourself, as you said before.
Mm-hmm.
You have to see the worth in yourself. When we were created, we were created masterpieces. We're one of a kind. We're genuine. We're our own Rembrandts. And when you live your life is your movie. And you are the star in that movie. You are the writer, the producer in that particular movie. And it's left up to you to see what you want to be, or to be who you see. And how that works is, you can either write an Academy Award or you can write a flop. But the thing is, when you are trying to overcome abuse, you have to love yourself. You have to understand who you are and whose you are. You have to have the attitude of gratitude. You have to appreciate existence, because when you were created, God gave you life, and he gave you life to live. And if you're doing anything less than living your life and living in abundance, living to life's expectations, it's an insult to your creator. So if you are living in an abusive situation and you are agreeing with it, you're insulting your creator, because you're less than who you're supposed to be. In other words, when I get up every morning, I get up every morning and say, God, I want to be the best person you created me to be. Not the best person I want to be, but the best person you created me to be. And if you execute this and really believe it truly in your heart, the most powerful thing that you can ever do in your life is to be the best you that you can be.
Wow. I think you said a mouthful. It's recognizing you are the gift that God has given you.
Mm-hmm.
And never allowing anyone
mm-hmm.
to redefine
mm-hmm.
what God has defined.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you said it to that person also, every step, every journey starts
mm-hmm.
with that one step.
Mm-hmm.
And so gaining a level of your independence
mm-hmm.
Starts with you. Many times you've got to plan your way
mm-hmm.
out of areas of abuse,
mm-hmm.
areas of frustration. You have to systematically plan your exit route.
Mm-hmm.
And in planning, you're regaining your life.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to do something to change the paradigm,
mm-hmm.
whether it's sexual abuse,
mm-hmm.
because someone may be in a relationship where they are being sexually abused.
Mm-hmm.
You're in a relationship where you're being mentally abused
mm-hmm.
or physically. You've got to plan your exit route.
Mm-hmm.
And when you finally are able to accomplish your exit route,
mm-hmm.
many times you've got to be careful of ready falling into position
mm-hmm.
of believing they won't do it again.
Mm-hmm.
I oftentimes tell people if they beat you 5 times, if they use you 10 times,
mm-hmm.
chances are they're going to use you the 11th time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to break the cycle, the same old, same old.
Mm-hmm.
Today becomes tomorrow. Tomorrow becomes another day.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, 11 years,
mm-hmm.
20 years,
mm-hmm.
15 years would have passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, well, how in the world I let myself go through this? How did I get in this kind of place I'm in?
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't intentional.
Mm-hmm.
But days go by like weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And weeks go about like months.
Mm-hmm.
And months go about like years.
Mm-hmm.
And before you know it, a whole decade has passed, and you've asked yourself how you got there. But you said something. Faith is important.
Mm-hmm.
I say this to you, that never allow anyone to disconnect you from somewhere you don't want to be disconnected
mm-hmm.
from. And she talked about alienation.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the keys of abuse is many times abusers will try to pull you away from things that give you strength,
mm-hmm.
your support network,
mm-hmm.
family,
mm-hmm.
mentors, those that are around you.
Mm-hmm.
Keep in connection what strengthens and reaffirms
mm-hmm.
what God has divinely created you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And anything that fights against you
mm-hmm.
is not fighting for you.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a powerful, powerful,
mm-hmm.
powerful statement. Well, what's something else?
Now, the other thing, like you were saying, when you're in an abusive situation, you create a scenario in your mind, and it starts with your mind, and the mind turns into an ACT, an act. Act forms habit, habit forms character. We use words of propaganda, like the word tomorrow. I'm going to get out of it tomorrow. I'm going to stop tomorrow, but tomorrow never comes. Because if we wake up tomorrow, it's today all over again.
Mm-hmm.
So the words we should use should be conclusive words. To me, that's an inconclusive word, because tomorrow never comes. The old folk used to say, never put off tomorrow what you can do today. And so I like to use words like the next day.
Mm-hmm.
That's conclusive. And when you're in an abusive situation, you're going to always say, I'll do it tomorrow. Well, how many times that we've said, I'm going to do it tomorrow, that we actually did it tomorrow? But mentally, we know that tomorrow never comes. So it gives us an excuse not to do it today. In other words, you're almost in a mental denial.
Wow.
Now, what I usually tell people when they are in abusive relationships, one of the and it's just an opinion of mine. It's something that I practice, and I've learned that it works. When you are trying to overcome an abusive relationship, there's three things that you can do to solve the problem.
And what are they?
The first one is leave it.
Okay.
The second one is live with it.
Oh.
The third one is yo.
Well, the guest that we had planned, so did we do something different tonight? Are we doing something different than we've done? Because I heard it out of there, and it doesn't sound, it's not the same as the 112. So we need to do something. Come on. I'm getting messages. It wasn't working. I'm online. Heavy breathing, but no response. The line just hung up. They didn't hang up. There was one thing. The line just hung up. Something that the person was doing hung up.
Hey, what's up, bro?
Okay, man, what's going on?
Chilling. What's good? What are we talking
about? We had a technical difficulty tonight. We've got, and it's hard to believe, we've got technical difficulty. We've got over 1,000 people online now looking at us.
Okay.
And we ran into it. Hey, so we've been talking. I brought you on because I know you're a man of faith, but I also know that you know, you make your living on the second hand, working a regular job, but also you've got you're in the secular business and promotions and doing all kinds of things. Tell us exactly what you do.
I'm a battle rap promoter. I own a battle rap league in Jacksonville, Florida. And that's about it. I manage a few artists, but not too much on the music side anymore. Strictly
okay.
Battle rap.
So tell me,
I used
tell
to
me,
do music.
So tell me, what's your opinion of this Kanye West transition? Talk to me about it. What you think?
I don't really know. I was upset with Kanye when I felt like he turned his back on black people, making those coon statements that he made. But everybody's liable to make mistakes. None of us perfect. So, I mean, I don't know. I got to wait to see, man, because Kanye,
well,
I don't think he's...
Donald Trump and all of that, what you're talking about?
What'd you say?
Was that his
say that
statement
again?
In support of Donald Trump?
Not
support
in support
of Donald
Trump,
because
I don't think Donald Trump is a... I don't think Donald Trump is a racist. I just didn't like what he said when he said slavery was a choice. I hated that statement. But I know for a fact that it was at least 700 slaves that jumped over the boat in their chains because they didn't want to be slaves, and some of them didn't have a choice. I didn't like that statement at all. I felt like he was shucking and jiving. But at this point, I mean, everybody deserves a chance, but he's not getting my support until I see that it's real.
So do you know what are people that are around you, do you think they think this is a real conversion, or this is another propaganda stunt because his career was not doing what he used to do?
It's half and half. I think it may be real because I think Kanye's just been beat up. I think he has mental issues. And I think he's just coming back to his roots. Kind of like when he first got started. When he was spitting the real, the truth. But, I mean, I can't say at this point because Kanye is just, he's a promotional genius. So sometimes he'll just say something. Just for attention. It's a lot of money to be made in the Christian music industry. So, I mean, I don't know. I know he lost a lot of fans when he was making those statements. So this could be a ploy to just gain some of those fans back. I don't know. I haven't listened to his album. I know he's a great producer. He's a great writer, but I haven't listened to his album or anything to say whether I think it's real or if he's spitting from the heart or not. So,
man, I thank you so much. I appreciate your opinion from the bottom of my heart.
I want to spit something. I want to spit something. I want to spit something
okay.
Before I go. Just a quick acapella. This is what I feel. If Kanye could say something like this, then he'll gain me. But listen, Lord, forgive us for our wicked ways. My lack of faith had me strapped with three different K's. I hit the J and think I'm safe for the time being. The face of God's the only thing I wouldn't mind seeing. But yet he's hitting, so we party like he don't exist. We feel the wind, so disbelief ain't never made sense. I'm so convinced that perfection's really just a dream, because even angels fell from heaven trying to kill a king. And it's the same how they lie about the finer things. Behind the scenes you pie, but in person you harder than diamond rings. A generation of imitation needs saving from the faking. But who am I to save it? Homie, I'm just saying things were different in my younger days. Things like death before dishonor seemed to win away. And so I pray all you change before you kill yourself. And maybe then we can finally see the truth in death. Appreciate you, Bishop.
Man, it's a long ways from them days at Winn Dixie.
A long ways, but we still here, so
gotta
keep pushing.
Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much.
All right,
so we've got a young man named Fearless. He's a Christian rapper. Matter of fact, he came to be with us for our thing for young people that we had. Did a wonderful job. We called him out of the audience. That brother was tight work. He hit real hard and did well and did justice. And I want to hear his opinion about the Christian rap industry and this whole Kanye West and what his belief is about that. Young man, you're on the line. This is Bishop Jackson.
Hello, Bishop Jackson. How are you doing this evening?
Man, I'm doing wonderful. Glad to have you online. Talk to me, man. There's a lot of rhetoric and conversation about Kanye coming into the Christian rap scene and what it's going to do for the whole Christian rap scene. Talk to me about this, man.
Well, Bishop, my whole perspective about this Kanye West ordeal, you know, that pertains to him being a Christian hip-hop artist is, it's simply this, man. I mean, me personally, I pray for these artists, you know, each and every day, you know, because, you know, at the end of the day, they are human souls. You know, Kanye West is a human soul. Kanye West, you know, is God's creation, and, you know, God loves Kanye West just as much as he loves me and you and everybody else who claims, you know, that they are believers. And with that being said, like I said, I pray for Kanye West. I pray for all of these artists, man, because all of them need the Lord, man. And to be honest, you know, I was never a Kanye West fan, you know, from jump. I was never a fan. However, you know, he is a great producer, great songwriter. You know, I mean, the way that he utilizes his gifts, talents, and abilities, it's awesome. And when it comes to him being a believer or a Christian artist, I just see it as, I mean, you know, if God is dealing with his heart, then that's what it is. And, you know, just like in the Bible, how God used the donkey, I mean, God used all kind of animals in the Bible to fulfill his will. So if he can use those animals, he can use Kanye West. But at the same time, I look at the
Kanye West donkey.
Oh, not calling Kanye West a donkey. I was just saying, you know, if God can use a donkey in the Bible, he could use Kanye West. That's all I was saying.
I love it, man. I love it. Man, I thank you. You are respected for your grassroots approach to ministry in our city and reaching community. Tell the people how they can reach you if they're looking to get a hold of you. Where can they go to find you at, man, and your music?
You all can reach me on all of my social media handles. I'm on Instagram at your boy Fearless, YABOY Fearless. I'm also on Twitter at your boy Fearless, YABOY Fearless, and I'm also on Facebook as well. I do have an album that I just released for pre-order. It's called My Race: A Fight to Finish. The album is available on iTunes and Apple Music for download. And the official release date for the album is March 27th.
Sounds exciting, man. I'm proud of you. Keep doing what you're doing, man. It blessed us to have you here. And I'm running a little bit behind because we messed up early, but we're trying to run. T1 is getting ready to is coming on. He's moved to Atlanta, I believe, and he's getting ready to come on. He's 716. 7116. Man, I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for having me. Y'all have a great evening.
Yes, sir. Man, what's going on?
Man, what's good with you, doctor? Everything is blessed.
We're blessed, doc. We haven't seen much of you since you left our beautiful city to go to the bold city of Atlanta.
You know what's interesting, Bishop, as I actually slide in and slide out a whole lot, I just be under the radar, man. I'm there a lot. I'm there more than people think I am. I love home.
Well, man, we definitely love you in Jacksonville, and we love your ministry. You know, like God blew you up. People always say overnight, and it's not overnight. They don't know what you've done on the backside of the mountain, Haven.
Amen.
But you're dead set in the middle of what's going on in terms of Christian music as a premier artist, up and coming, doing some real moves. What do you think about where the Christian gospel rap industry is, Christian hip hop, yada yada, is at? And also talk to me about this Kanye West phenomenon.
Yes, sir. Well, first and foremost, man, shouts out to Fearless. I just hung up with you, man. I'm watching his grind, loving what he's doing, and even for yourself, man, thank you for the platform, the opportunity. I say this, Bishop, you know, I think the current state of Christian hip-hop, or, you know, whatever so many people call it, so many different things, gospel hip-hop, I see this right now, I currently, and just for myself, I see it as progressive. I see it progressing, and I see it becoming, influential. And for me, I'm excited that the Christian hip-hop community and its music is reaching beyond the walls of the church. Like, the aim is no longer just for the choir, just for us, but it's becoming for all people. And we think of the gospel, that's what God intended for the gospel to do. He intended it for it to reach nations and not just a nation, you know, not just a core a group of people. But I like it because it's spreading its wings, and we're collaborating with, you know, quote unquote, secular world. And I remember at a time in my career when I started doing that, and there was a lot of backlash. It wasn't really accepted at the time. And I see it being accepted like nowadays. I think it's beautiful to do a project with a secular DJ, a secular artist, when you're giving people the opportunity to praise God. So for me, I see it as progressive, if you would ask me. I think that is moving toward a very, very healthy realm, and I like it.
Well, let me tell you something. I think some of your standpoints are very valid. I think that the old church had trouble with it because they didn't understand the new move of God. Whenever God's ever done a new movement, the existing church always had a problem. From Catholicism to the Reformers, there's always been a problem with transformation. The church sometimes struggles with that level of transformation. I still remember when Mr. Melodies from Heaven himself, Kirk Franklin, came out and he was stomping and jumping. Church said, you know, this is the devil. I still remember them, the preachers preaching, you got to stomp in here, but you need a stomp for Jesus. You're stomping around here in this boop-de-boop music. And so they had trouble with it. But if you go back in church history, some of the songs that were sung by the Aretha Franklin, the Tom Dorsey, they were talking, stuff that we sang, Precious Lord, Take My Hand, those were fly songs back in those days. And they were talking about them for going up yonder to see my Lord, which is old school now. We call it real old. But those were the cutting edge songs of that day. So the church has always had a problem with the revolution that God gives, but it will have to acquiesce and come to the place of it. As long as we don't distort the message. And some of you artists that God's raising up now are biblically strong. I mean, man, you were youth pastoring in the city at one point. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. I was, and I'm actually have had the privilege of, you know, serving here as a youth pastor as well in Atlanta. So I'm currently one now. So it's a blessing. Yes, sir.
So that word is that see, God's raising up a generation of guys that's got word in their belly, and so when it comes out of their lyrics, their music, the word is oozing out of them, and so it's a whole different genre of God to speak to. So I'm very thankful for that. And let me say this to you. What you've done and what you continue to do has been a blessing to so many people. Keep doing what you're doing, man. And you got new music that's just dropped. Am I correct?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Bishop. Yes, sir. I'm doing a project right now. I'm on the back end of it, and it's set for release March the 29th. And it's my most transparent project to date. I'm being transparent with God. I'm being transparent with myself, and being transparent with those that may know me and those that may not know me. I don't know how to even articulate, man, the level of transparency that God has, you know, released me and made me. He gave me freedom in it. Like, it's a lot of liberty, and I'm excited about it. And the first single is titled "Doing Better." And I'm excited about it, man. It's just like a personal testimony of transition. Like you say, a lot of people, you know, they talk about the glory, or they see you winning, but they don't know the back end of it. You know, all they see is the glory of God, but they don't know what's behind the glory of God. They don't know what's behind that grace that's covering me, because what you see is grace. But if you saw beyond His grace, you probably wouldn't. You probably wouldn't follow me, probably wouldn't listen to me. And so this project, I've allowed myself to be transparent and to be open to the Spirit of God and just being completely honest, man. So, yeah, I'm excited about it. Bishop is coming out March 29th on all platforms, and it's titled Doing Better.
Now, how is your boy doing? First of all, I'm proud of you for being transparent. Look like Atlanta did you good, man, when you went there. Look like you grew another level in God when you went there.
It's amazing that you say that. I did, honest to God. And it's interesting because I didn't. I'm just want to give a quick moment of transparency. I recall when I got here, one of the things I did was, for a minute, God told me to was telling me to clean my Instagram, and that just didn't make sense to me. I'm like, what? That don't even make sense. So months and months and months go by. And then finally, God woke me up late at night. It was literally about 3 a.m. And He had me start doing a project. And right then and there, He told me to clean my timeline. And I was like, clean my timeline? And so basically He said, you know, there was a lot of people I was following that I wasn't even following. and I don't see, I don't even follow him. It's like 7,000 people I'm following, and I'm going somewhere with it. And so what I did was I had to hire someone to unfollow every person that I was following on my Instagram. And, you know, I got phone calls from some friends and people I knew was like, man, you want to follow me on Instagram? I said, well, you know, no, it wasn't you. I hired somebody. It wasn't me. I didn't directly unfollow you. But, you know, to the few that I do desire to follow and that God has released me to follow, I will follow. So it's interesting because you're right. When I got here, it was like Bishop God hit me. And it was like it was a transition away from everything that was toxic in my life and everything that I was connected to that really wasn't serving me, you know, serving the purpose that God had for me. And so when he disconnected me or transitioned me to a new place, he hid me for a long time. And I still feel like I'm in hiding. And he finally about to pull me out of hiding. But that was one of the things he did do. So getting here to this new space gave me an opportunity to be detached from so many different things that grabbed my attention on the day to day, and it gave me peace and it gave me quiet time, and I didn't know nobody. Nobody knew me. Nobody could call me. Nobody could text me and say, "Bro, I'm on the way to your house," or "Can you come take?" It was just freedom, and I got an opportunity to close out every other voice in my life and just hear the voice of God and to tune into Him. So yeah, man, it's been a great transition from Jacksonville to Atlanta, and I still love home, but it's been a great transition.
Well, sometimes the prophet got to get away for God to be able to speak to him. So thank you so much, man. We love you, and we can
yes,
use
sir.
God
love you too.
And our prayers.
Yes, sir. All right, Bush. Thank you.
Have a wonderful evening. Now, I believe there's one other young man that's on is Cedric. Cedric was at our church at one point, guys. And Cedric, are you online? You
said
a
look
on there?
Yes, I am.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not much, man. Just been listening. Been listening for quite a few of some of the people that have been speaking.
Tell me a little bit about your opinion of where gospel music is and all of this is going on and. What are you thinking? Where are you headed?
Me personally, you know, I think it's expanding. I think gospel rap gospel music in general, like it's really expanding. Like you got quite a few people. Like just the other day, like I heard a rapper who goes by Yellow Beezy, but he has achieved a lot of mainstream success. Like he's had hits and I think some Billboard 100 on the radio. And I see he collaborated with a gospel artist. I can't remember her name particularly, but she's really big right now. And you know, it's just expanding and that's a good thing. I mean, you would want the gospel to go to areas where typically wouldn't go, you know, going to those areas where, you know, some people are too afraid to go, and you know, what better way for it to get there, through music. You know, music, you know, it crosses all kind of lines, generation lines and cultural lines and so on and so forth. So my take as far as with the Kanye West situation, you know, as long as it's sincere, I think it's a great move. I think it's a really good move, you know, as far as for gospel music. You know, for Kanye, you know, which is interesting because I noticed like for a while, you know, it seemed like he was kind of doing a lot of like, you know, like ranting online and, you know, just always in the media just for, you know, negative things, good things, so on and so forth. But it's like now it seems like he's in a really good space, you know, because you don't really see him just in and out of, you know, social media, you know, with, you know, this video or that video. It just seemed like he's in a pretty good space. You know, me personally, I think it's I think it could be a good thing, you know, especially if he's sincere, and I can't be the judge whether or not he's sincere or not.
Well, I think you're correct. None of us can really evaluate whether or not he's sincere or not. I think that's really the miracle statement, that only God knows the heart. So my question to you is, where do you see this Christian music, I mean, this whole rap industry, where you say you see it on the rise? At one time, it was like, rappers that were Christian didn't think they should do Christian music. They just don't, you know, do some other kind of music. But now they return back to music of faith. Explain to me, what do you think is going on with music of faith now?
I think it's expanding. I think it's being very influential. I think it's being very influential because you got some really, really good Christian rappers that make really, really good music. Like, I could name a list of them. I just name a couple, like KB for one. He's pretty known in the Christian rap arena. Of course, Lecrae. You got NF. Like, it's growing, it's expanding, and it's really been influential because when you look at the secular artists, it's typically the same thing over and over and over and over. It's just a lot of repetitiveness, and it's like, a lot of times it's not a lot of creativity. A lot of these people, they got writers, they got people that's writing for them. So, and a lot of times the artists are so big, they don't even have time to write anymore. Like, they don't have time to write. They don't really have time to focus on their craft because it's just so much that they have to do. So it's like, honestly, I see a lot of, you got some Christian rap that actually sounds better than some secular rap. So, you know, I really see it getting bigger. And a lot of people begin to see, like, wow, like, you know, Christian rappers, they're actually rapping, they're actually making good music, while this rap over here is bigger, but at the same time, but, you know, they just have more followers at the moment. And you know, I guess you could say more radio play, so on and so forth. So, you know, I can just only, you know, see it get it, you know, getting bigger. That's all.
So what's your goal? What should any Christian artist's goal be? I mean, I know you know, you're doing a lot of stuff now, but if you had to say what their goal should be, what would you say their goal should be now?
A Christian artist's goal, rapper's goal, of course, should be to reach the lost. You know, ultimately, you know, that's what it should be about, to reach the lost. You know, reach people that, you know, that don't know Jesus, that don't know of Jesus and don't know Jesus. So that should be the ultimate goal.
Now, when you're working on your music, what are some of the things you do to spice your music up, and the Christian music that God has allowed you to produce? What's the secret? Where's your space that you get to be able to minister to people?
Well, the songs that I made to minister to people, like I think you heard the song Change, Faith. I probably have some others too. I can't think of all the top, but I mean, it was just I guess it was just, you know, out of my situation. I guess I gained inspiration from the situation I was going through. And I've seen some things in my life, like, okay, just use Change for an example. It was just like, you know, I was looking at myself, looking at my life, and it was just, you know, certain areas that I wanted to make progress in. And so it was just like, okay, change, you know. And so And next thing you know, I started writing. I found a beat that was perfect for it. Like it went totally with it. And I just went from there. Like as far as the songs that I made, that was to inspire people to, whether it's faith, to have faith, or whether it's change to change, because we all need change. We all need change, and we all need to evolve. And you were speaking about that earlier, as far as how over the years, anytime, and you can even in biblical times, when there was a shift, religious minded people, they didn't receive it.
Absolutely.
They rejected it. And so, so it's just, as I look at my life, as I look at things that are going on, I just try to speak to those situations, because it may help somebody else.
Well, I think music, and you've said it best, I've seen you perform, you've done it at our church. When we were in the smaller church, you were a part of what we were doing, and I've got a chance to hear you. It was a blessing to hear your ministry. We were a lot more humble in those days. God's been really gracious to us now. But you were faithful while you were with us. And so I think that as long as a Christian artist can let his lifestyle match his music, I think we're on the way forward. Mm-hmm. Man, I thank you so much for taking the time. And I let you ride out. You're son of the house. Glad to let you ride out a little bit. We appreciate you so much.
Okay.
Have a wonderful day.
Okay. Okay, you too.
I got Raphael Jones online. And so, listen to me. I got to figure out his hand signals. I don't know what those hand signals mean. Y'all know what those mean? All right, you got him? You got to call him online?
No.
It is now.
There's no problems on the phone with you.
Oh. All right. So maybe I really want to hear this, because he's actually going to be with us on the upcoming. He's coming to be with us very soon. and so maybe, oh my. He's gonna be okay. Listen to me. Today was really, really, really different for us. And I want to thank each and every one of you that has blessed us and graced us with your ministry gifts tonight. We've got a host of wonderful young men on that display their opinion and deeper look. Is designed for us to look at the issues in a deeper way, to examine what's going on in Christendom today, in the secular world, in secular industry, politics, and all. We deal with it all on this show. Stories of abuse, stories of corruption, stories of mess. We deal with it all. We're going to expose some things. Got some things that are getting ready to break soon. We're going to expose some things that are going on in the country right about now. We're going to be doing a whole series on the coronavirus very soon, and what we believe is the government cover-up and things of that sort. And my team said, Lord, you are putting us in this. And yeah, we're going to engage in it. And if we perish, we perish. We're going to be with his name. And I wish really. You know, my wife, she sit there with that look for him. Baby. But we got to do what we got to do. So I want to tell you, each of you, thank you so much for your support. And I just want to make sure one more time that there's no caller in the queue. Or have you shut it already down?
No, there's nobody in the call position.
Okay, we'll make sure so. Ready? Well, it's a good afternoon. Thank you so much for your grace. Now, remember, if you are a Christian artist, we have a group of Christian artists on here. slaves. Let's develop a fellowship. Every first Friday, there is a fellowship for young adults, IYAC Council, Christian artists, and people are able to come and display their gifts on the first Friday. And I want to invite you to be a part of what we're doing here at the AC Center. As a matter of fact, this week there is a wonderful meeting that's going to be going on, and on the, for 2 days, Friday and Saturday. And I want you to plug in. Thanks again. It's been a great day. I am so blessed. The Lord has allowed you to come and be our guest tonight. Some 200 of you on now. Started off with about 12K of people that was with us, and we appreciate you from the bottom of our heart. Now, tell somebody, next Tuesday and next Friday, Thursday, to join us at the 8 o'clock time. We're going to try to be more faithful about it, and forgive our technician that's trying to work through his learning curves. So, and if you're out there and you want to be a blogger, please contact us. And we're interested in helping you get your product out to the nation. It's been a great day. Thanks again. May God bless you, heaven smile upon you. Let's take a deeper look and look at the issues. I have been your friend and brother, Dr. Z. Have an amazing day.
That's an hour that he was dropped.
Yes, at least 2 full hours. That was long. Such a good talk.
And he grinning like he don't know that.
And did he get his face? Yeah, and why did he get up?
What did you have going through running?
Just
let's try something different tonight.
I'm gonna change nothing.